I'd like you to open with me to the 18th Psalm. The 18th Psalm is the divinely inspired record of the last words of David. And we're going to be looking, beginning this morning, at the long obedience that David had in his walk with the Lord, and especially in the 18th Psalm surrounding his seeking of God. I hope that this psalm will become, perhaps for you, one of your favorites. Because these words, God tells us, were his last words, David's last words. And God captured them for us, put them in this book, and actually records them twice. The 18th Psalm also occurs in a little different format in 2 Samuel 22. And at the end of that, there's a little addition that's not in this psalm that says, these were the last words of David. So in a real sense, this is a very thrilling psalm because it's the finality of his life that we finally come to. But more than that, David summarizes his whole life, and from it, we'll see some wonderful, wonderful truths. We've watched David's life for many months, from his childhood, way back when we started with him as a shepherd boy, and all the struggles, the triumphs of the battlefield, the defeats of those unguarded moments. And all of those truths come to us through the inspired record. The book you hold in your hand is so amazing because this is not merely David's words or the apostles' words, which could be, you know, just about like anybody else's words, but they are actually God's words that came through them and were recorded by inspiration for us. And so because of that, we have the inspired record that God gave to us of David's life. And the reason I've loved the study of David's life is because David's life, more visibly than I think any other life, and that's my personal belief, more than any other life in the Scriptures, his life, because it's the longest, has the longest and most complete testimony of God's grace. And I want you to think of the implications of that, because the grace that saves is the grace that forgives. And so visibly in David's life, it's also the grace that kept giving him a new beginning. Remember all these psalms that we've looked at? When David is struggling, when David is going through defeats or he's going through despair, and then God gives him a brand new beginning. And he just cranks out that psalm and goes on and accomplishes something else wonderful for the Lord. But especially as we gather around the table celebrating Christ's cross, the truth of God's grace is closest and perhaps dearest when we think that he gave himself for me, for each of us individually. Grace says that God is committed to finishing what he started in my life. Jesus Christ says, I'm going to keep cleansing you as often as needed. Jesus also tells us, I'm going to love you no matter what you do. And nothing can make me love you any more or any less. So that brings us to a conclusion. That means, like David, we should be seeking God when we're imperfect. Now let me just pause on that thought for a moment. Because David's life declares it doesn't take perfection to please God. Now most people know that, but some Christians aren't aware of that yet. And they're going through this endless, lifelong struggle trying to finally get perfect by whoever's standard, their own usually. And I don't mean they're trying to save themselves. They're trying to please God by perfecting themselves. What's so interesting is the Bible says, and the very God of peace is the one who is going to perfect us. So it's almost disheartening when we're trying to do in our own strength what God has already promised. One of the reasons that we need to go so long through David's life is it takes us often as believers so long to realize that God does not demand or expect perfection from us. You don't have to be fearless to please God. David was often afraid, and he had to flee to the Lord. Remember that next time you're afraid. That isn't something that's horrible. It's not something that short-circuits everything God's doing. David was often afraid, and his psalms are all about him singing about fleeing to God when he faces fearful and fearsome situations. We don't have to be perfect to please God. David is often smitten by guilt and confesses his sins to the Lord. We should remember that next time we're stained by sin. We don't have to be perfect and sinless, and we can't be. And so we shouldn't strive to keep ourselves sinless in our own strength, thinking it will please God. Because now unto Him who is able to keep us from falling. It's God's work to keep us. You don't have to have a perfect marriage to please God. David had a marriage with a lot of problems, if you have read the record. Remember that the next time you're weeping inside or outside over the stress or pain that you feel at your partner, that God doesn't demand a perfect marriage, a perfect life, a fearless life. You don't have to have perfect children to please God. David has no recorded children who followed the Lord to the end of their life. He had a lot of children. We don't have a single record of one that made it all the way to the end, seeking and loving the Lord. Remember that the next time you don't like the harsh blasts of disobedience or disrespect or ingratitude that your children may give you. And you also don't have to be constantly serene to please God, kind of live in this euphoria, kind of a constant smile, like the pharaohs, you know, when they just undid that latest one and dug it out of the Valley of the Kings, and there was that smile painted right on the coffin. You don't have to have one of those painted smiles, constantly serene to please God. David was often depressed. He had to sometimes crawl on his face back to the Lord. That's how distraught he was. Remember that next time you're too discouraged to even get out of bed. You don't want to go to work. You don't even want to look someone else in the eye. You don't have to be perfectly serene to please God. But we do have to experience the grace of God to please God. And that's what the 18th Psalm is all about. We gather as Christ's body to praise God for grace. And David's life, as recorded in his last words, are covered with grace. God looks on David not as he was, but always as he would be. And that's the same way he looks on us in our lives. David says from start to finish, God knows my heart. He knew my deepest desires, and he forgave all the rest. David was imperfect, sometimes failing, sometimes fearful, often sad, sometimes troubled. And through it all, and in spite of it all, and in it all, David says from start to finish, in his last words we're looking at, those very first six words, I will love the Lord, my strength. David loved the Lord with all of his heart. And what an example he is.